This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. The show goes on. Sports Radio 94, WIP. Dan Wilson with you. Kyle Forsini is behind the glass. 215-592-9494 is how you join the show, as we are now officially, I believe, 34 and a half hours away from the kickoff of Super Bowl 59. I cannot wait. This has been an excruciating 2 weeks. It always is. This is nothing new. The NFL has been taking the 2 weeks off prior to the Super Bowl before just about all 59 of them. They took a little break there in the early 2000s. But this is fortunately, a good problem to have, something we've gotten used to here in Philadelphia. In the last 7 years, this is now the third time the Eagles have been in the Super Bowl. In my lifetime, the fourth. And for many people, this will be the fifth time for those who go back to the early 80s, who can remember when the Eagles lost their first Super Bowl appearance as a franchise in New Orleans to the Oakland Raiders. This is the fifth time the Eagles are ever appearing in the Super Bowl, and these 2 weeks, they never get any easier. Lots of anticipation. You hear every take imaginable. You watch every pregame show imaginable. I mean, I know the pregame show is technically tomorrow, but it's basically been going on for 2 weeks. It was great to hear the station down at Radio Row this week. Every guest, everyone in the football world, everyone's got opinions on the game. And it should be that way, right? It is not just the biggest game of the NFL season. It's the biggest sporting event we have in American sports. It's bigger than the World Series. It's bigger than the NBA Finals. It's bigger than the Stanley Cup Finals. It's one game for all the marbles. This is where legacies are change in this game more so than any other sport, any other game. What happens on the field Sunday will impact the future of the NFL and how we look back on this season in an incredibly pivotal way. And when we start the show here today, and you want to get in at 215-592-9494, I have a very basic question, to start off the show here this morning. What's the one word you feel about this game tomorrow? What is the word, you've heard it for 13 days now. It's been 13 days since the Eagles won the NFC Championship over the Commanders. We are just one day away from Super Bowl 59. What's the one word you feel about the game tomorrow? Is it confident? Is it nervous? Is it, do you got agita? Do you have, what's the word? Are you feeling chesty? Are you feeling a little shaky? What is the word that best describes how you feel? I'll give you my word. I'll give you my word right off the bat. It's anxious. I am anxious about this game tomorrow, and I'll tell you why. Number one, anxious for it to start. As I laid out, it's been 13 days since the NFC Championship took place at Lincoln Financial Field. 13 days since we learned the Eagles would be playing the Chiefs. I am anxious for this thing to start. The more time that you have, I'm always a get it over with kind of person. When I was in school and I had to give a big presentation, and I actually never feared public speaking too much. I mean, I guess I'm doing a form of public speaking right now here on the radio. But I was always the kid in class. Like, if everyone had to present in class on a particular day, get me to the front of the class first. I don't want to sit there and watch each and every other kid present, you know, PowerPoint after PowerPoint after PowerPoint, or on the whiteboard. I want to go first. I want to be able to watch everyone else take a breath and be able to know that I've already done it. Never wanted to go exactly first because I wanted to see a few people go, see what early mistakes are made, and maybe make a couple of adjustments. But I never wanted to be the person who goes last, because when you go last in a class presentation, you have all the time in the world to think about it. You have all of the time in the world to think about all of the possibilities, both good and bad, and your mind gets twisted into a pretzel. And these 2 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl, I have played out this game in my mind 1 billion times, and I'm sure everyone out there listening has as well. Sometimes I play the game out in my mind and I see a win. Sometimes I see a loss. It's impossible not to when Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and Steve Spagnuolo are on the other side. And the more times I play it out is good, the more times I play it out is bad. I think this is an unbelievably even matchup, perhaps one of the most evenly matched Super Bowls we've ever seen. It's a 1.5 line in favor of the Chiefs. Honestly, wouldn't have been surprised if that was a pick 'em. I get the 1.5. It's for Mahomes. From a national perspective, probably the safe pick, and a slightly more people leaning towards the Chiefs. But I think if you polled everyone in America who's going to win this game, Eagles and Chiefs, it would come pretty close to even. And I think you could play this game 1,000 times and it would come out pretty close to 500, 50-50, if you will, of who would win this game. The more times I play the game out in my head, the more times I say it could be good, it could be bad, and the Eagles just need to be the better team on the field tomorrow. So that's why I'm anxious for this game to start. The second reason is I know I'll be anxious once the game begins. For everyone who's confident out there, for everyone who maybe is super excited, and I don't want to get this twisted, I am extremely excited for this game. That's another word, but anxious is the word I'm going with this morning. For everyone who is going to use the word excited or confident or fired up, I guess that's two words, but I'll allow it, pumped up, pumped, whatever you want to say. Once that game kicks off tomorrow, are you telling me you're not going to be an emotional wreck when Patrick Mahomes is driving down the field at some point? Doesn't even have to be in the second half. When the Chiefs get the ball and they start moving a little after 6:30 p.m. tomorrow, you're telling me you're not going to be freaking out? You're not going to be anxious? You're not going to be biting your nails down to the knuckle, pulling out every hair you have left because you are nervous? Of course you are. And of course this entire Delaware Valley is, and probably more so than the Chiefs. The Chiefs fans have seen a lot of winning lately. They're probably going in with a little bit more of a cocky, arrogant mindset going into this. The Eagles need this game. That's why I'm going to be so unbelievably anxious once this thing kicks off. I'm frankly unsettled by how confident this fan base, the callers, have been this week. I have heard maybe one or two people on these airwaves predict the Chiefs. Like, maybe. And for a game that is so evenly matched, so it's going to be so difficult. I know it goes without saying, but the toughest opponent the Eagles face all season, I get everyone's high on the Eagles. I get the last game the Eagles played, they scored 55 points in the NFC Championship. I get that everything they've showed us up to this point, and people are excited for the Super Bowl. Who wants to be the Debbie Downer who picks against their own team? But for literally no one, like not even an ounce of Negadelphia left, like not even a little bit of, I think this game's going to come down on the wire. I think this game's going to be close. I think we're going to, like, it's been a lot of 7-point wins and 9-point wins and 12-point wins. You're always going to have your people who are like, yeah, Birds are going to win by 20. I don't see it. I don't see the game playing out that way. I'm going on the record now. I do think the Eagles win the game. I'll give my official score prediction a little bit later in the show, but I think it's going to be difficult. I think it's going to go down to the wire. I think it's going to be a lot like Super Bowl 52, which at the end of the day was an 8-point game, but was one possession to the very end, and you needed a big play in Brandon Graham to get a strip sack on Tom Brady, and that game was literally not over until the clock hit 000. I think that's what we're in store for tomorrow. Grab your heart pills. If you're someone who doesn't deal with stress well, tomorrow's not the game for you. You might want to sit this one out. Because from the second that ball kicks off at 6:30 to the time this game ends at 10 o'clock, I think we are in for a 3.5-hour roller coaster. So buckle up, because this game is going to be anxiety-producing to the maximum extent. And this is where I mean, this is where fandom is. This is where you cut your teeth, right? You watch games all season long, in week one to through the bye week to week eight to week 18 through the playoffs to reach this moment. And I think the Eagles and the NFL has saved the best for last. I think we're getting a heavyweight fight tomorrow. And for the rest of the country, I think they're going to see a great football game. For Philadelphia and Kansas City, I think they are going to be full of anxiety for 3.5 hours. It will not be for the weak-hearted. And I want to know if people agree at 215-592-9494. And the last thing here is, before I get to the phones, I'm anxious for what happens if they don't win. I try not to look at things through a negative lens, but I can't help it. Like I said, I played this game out a billion times in my mind, and a little less than half of them, the Chiefs win. A little less than half of them, the Chiefs win this game when I play it out in my mind, and I'm anxious for what happens if they don't win. History would not be, I know everyone thinks the Eagles have, and they do, a really young and talented roster, and the Eagles are here to stay, but we said this a couple of years ago, and I think we should have learned our lesson by now for what will happen if the Eagles do not win this game. History would not be favorable on the Eagles' side if they lose this game. Did you know in the history of the Super Bowl, only one guy, only one quarterback has ever lost their first two Super Bowls and come back to ever win? John Elway lost his first three, ended up winning two before his career was said and done. He's the only quarterback ever to lose his first two and then come back and win. There's only a handful of guys who have lost their first Super Bowl and come back to win, right? Like, it's not, history would not be on the side of Jalen Hurts. History would not be on the side of Nick Sirianni. History is not all generally on the side of the team who loses the Super Bowl. And in particular, in the position the Eagles are in, where the Chiefs are in the middle of a dynasty here, the Eagles trying to get their second ever franchise Super Bowl and only a handful of holdovers from that team who won Super Bowl 52, right? Lane Johnson, Rick Lovato, Jake Elliott, Brandon Graham. Like, that's the list. This is a very new team from the team who won Super Bowl 52. Not a super new team from the team who lost Super Bowl 57, right? That was Sirianni, that was Hurts. It's a lot of these starters on both sides of the ball. If they lose again, it is very hard to find the examples, like an Elway from a quarterback perspective being the only guy to ever do it, to find the guy who loses the first two and then comes back and wins on the third try. They say third time's a charm. When it comes to the Super Bowl, not generally speaking. A lot of times you don't get that third time. A lot of times you don't get that third chance. All right, I am incredibly nervous if the Eagles do not win this time that we might look back on this Super Bowl as, man, that's what could have been. That was their best chance. We didn't know that was like perhaps their best chance when we were watching it. But as time ages, I don't think it would be a loss that ages well. I'm sorry, I don't. And I really want to believe and look at the Eagles' defense and the production they've gotten out of their rookies like Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean, and hopefully they bring back Zach Bond. They got a lot of youth and a lot of players who I hope do return. Jalen Carter, unbelievable this season. And I say that this team should be competitive in years to come. And I buy that. I'm not saying they're going to flame out like they did a year ago. But history, it's hard to make the Super Bowl. It's even harder to win. And if they now fall two out of these last 3 years, both at the hands of the Chiefs, history would frankly not be on their side to one day finish the job. I think the time is here. I think the time is now. I think they must win it tomorrow. It is a must win in all caps, and it is the, like, more so than even just your average Super Bowl. This is more of a must win than 2 years ago was, because they were still a little bit of the new team on the block. Jalen Hurts was still newer to the league. Sirianni was still the new guy in his second year. That's not the case this time around. They are now veterans of the Super Bowl. They've gone through this week before. They have played on this stage before. And they need to get the job done. And for all of those reasons, I am anxious about this game. Anxious about the negative. Anxious about what could be if they don't get the job done. I'm anxious for this thing to kick off tomorrow at 6:30. And I know I will be anxious for 3.5 hours straight once this game pops up on the TV tomorrow. Do you agree? 215-592-9494. We kick it off this morning with Chris in Dover. What's up, Chris?
Yo, what's going on?
What's up?
Man, I'm a football fan. I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not a Birds fan, but I'm a football fan. I'm a Pittsburgh fan. I'm still waiting for the first Pittsburgh Eagles Super Bowl. So me and my wife can fill our bucket list up and go to a Super Bowl.
Your wife's an Eagles fan and you're a Steelers fan?
Yes.
You got pretty close in 2004, but never been that close again. You're right.
yes. But listen, my word's excitement. And listen, this game is, you're right, it's two heavyweights. And this is coming from a non-one-sided fan, is it's just two great teams. And I think the key player is Jalen Hurts. I watched the Super Bowl like you guys did, and I rewatched the last week, the last one between you and the Chiefs. They were in that game and played a great game, could have won the game, but Jalen Hurts' running in that game was a huge factor. He ended up with like 70 yards rushing, and at key moments, he made those runs, man. I'm telling you, the defense is going to, I feel like, it's going to be ultimate winner. Whoever plays the better defense and makes the stop, I think both offenses are going to play relatively well, but I think the defense that makes the stop is what's going to win this Super Bowl. I'll predict the 28-24 Birds.
Well, I like your prediction as a non-Eagles fan. Now, I agree with you. Listen, in Super Bowl 52, again, it was 41-33. A lot of points in that game. There was one punt in the entire game, and it was the Eagles making one stop at the end that ended up being the difference. Now, 28-24, the prediction you just gave wouldn't be quite as high scoring as that, but I do expect, I mean, these are two offenses that run the ball, or that score the ball, you know, very well. They move the ball down the field very, very well. They do it in a little bit of a different style. And I think one of the keys to the game, and I'm going to hit this in the next segment a little bit more, is I would think, because the Eagles are more of a running offense, Chiefs more of a passing offense, it could boil down to like how many possessions we see in this game. It feels like more possessions in this game would favor the Chiefs. Fewer possessions in this game probably favors the Eagles, means more clocks being run, more running of the ball. But absolutely, that team who gets the one stop at the end of the game could literally be the difference.
I think it, and the other thing is, the Chiefs, you can't underestimate them, obviously, even though I hear on the airwaves and talk to some good friends, they're all very, I feel, overconfident to a degree this year, but you can't take away what this team's done that they're playing against. And the other thing is, I feel like you got to go out and grab it, man. You got to go out and win it and make the play, and don't keep your foot off the pedal against this great team. And, you know, and the other thing is, the key thing is, I love the matchup to this. The Vic Fangio versus Andy Reid, and the Spagnuolo versus the Eagles offense, Kellen Moore. I mean, these coaching matchups alone, not even saying anything about the player matchups, I think is really fascinating, man.
Chris, 100% agree, and I appreciate the call. Yeah, it's going to be heavyweights on the field. It's going to be heavyweights on the sideline. I believe you have the best coach in the league right now in Andy Reid. You have the best defensive coordinator in Spagnuolo. You have one of the best defensive coordinators of our time in Vic Fangio. He's searching for his first Super Bowl victory in this game. You have the best running, you have the NFL Offensive Player of the Year in Saquon Barkley. There's a very, what we're going to see on the field in New Orleans tomorrow is a very large chess match going on at once. It's going to be a lot of talent. It's going to be a lot of, can we coach our guy to be in the correct position? It's going to be the type of game where one mistake can make or break a team's entire season. It's going to be very anxiety-producing, and that's why my word is anxious. So I want to know this morning, again, if you're just joining us, what is your word? When I ask you what's the one word, you've had 2 weeks to think about it. We're now a day away from Super Bowl 59. What's the one word that describes how you feel about this game tomorrow? We say good morning to James in Southwest Philadelphia. What's up, James?
Hey, D-Dub, how you doing?
Doing well.
What I want to say is this. First of all, Patrick Mahomes is not unbeatable. Everybody make it seem like this guy's unbeatable. Patrick Mahomes is due to have a bad game. He's due to have a bad game. And maybe you can help me, and I think you just reiterated on it. I don't know if Vic Fangio has ever coached in a Super Bowl before.
He's coached in it once and lost. Years. He's 0-1 okay. In the Super Bowl.
But he's been coaching for over 30 years. So I know he got stuff up his sleeve that ain't nobody seen yet that he probably was saving for this moment. And like I said, Patrick Mahomes is due to have a bad game. Like, this man is not unbeatable. People making it seem like nobody can beat him.
Well, unbeatable. Listen, James,
and
he's not.
Word
he's
is humble.
Your word's humble? You still there?
Yeah, because Philadelphia is going to humble Kansas City. And I'm going to say this real fast, right? When Jalen Hurts wins, when we win tomorrow, Jalen Hurts needs to get on the podium and make one statement. How you like me now?
Well, I think if he gets that,
for
I think
two
everyone...
years, we've been...
Go ahead.
Huh?
I said go ahead. Finish
no,
your point.
For 2 years, we've been clamoring. For 2 years, we've been clamoring, run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. Now when we're running the ball, everybody's saying he should pass more. He should do this more. Like, what do you want? If winning is the ultimate goal, it don't make a difference if you walk there, run there, crawl there. As long as you win, that's all that matters.
James, I have a feeling if he wins and he gets up and says there, I think everyone will be liking Jalen Hurts, to your point, regardless of how it happens. No, you're absolutely right about, listen, Mahomes is an all-time great, probably already one of the three best quarterbacks of all time. This is a big legacy game for him as well, because if he's already won three Super Bowls. If he wins tomorrow, now you're talking four. He matches Joe Montana. Probably, for most people, goes into number two in the GOAT conversation. And now he's, before the age of 30, he's already more than halfway to Brady. Huge game for him tomorrow. You may be right. I'm not saying that he's unbeatable. Obviously, Tom Brady lost in the Super Bowl three times. There's no individual man who's unbeatable. But he's as close as they come to it, James. I mean, he is, again, an all-time great in the middle of his prime. And frankly, we saw the Bucs and Todd Bowles shut down that offense a couple years ago in the Super Bowl, but it's been a while since we've seen Mahomes have a bad game and a big game. I wouldn't, frankly, count on that too much.
We're going to get our hit back. But let me say this real fast. You know, the Eagles is on the verge of making history, right? And I'm going to tell you how. The NFC is the only division in the NFL where every team has a Super Bowl. If the Eagles
NFC
win
East,
tomorrow, it'll be the only division in the NFL. And the NFC East would be the only division in the NFL where every team has multiple Super Bowls.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty... Sorry, James. Appreciate the call. I mean, it's a division that's full of parity. No one's won the division back-to-back times since 2004 when every other division's won... been won by a back-to-back champion within like the last 3 years, I think it is. He's correct about that. It's the only division in the league that all four teams have a Super Bowl victory. If the Eagles were to win tomorrow, he would be correct. It'd be the only division where every team has multiple Super Bowl victories, because currently the Eagles are the only one stuck with one. This is a huge game for the Eagles franchise, not just for Jalen Hurts trying to get one, Sirianni trying to get his first. For most of these players going for their first, again, you know, in an Eagles uniform, we're talking about Brandon Graham, Lane Johnson, the long snapper, Rick Lovato, and I'm missing someone in there, Jake Elliott as well, who they would be going for their second in an Eagles uniform. We're talking about Howie Roseman, who is a GM going for his second Super Bowl title and basically building two completely separate teams, almost unprecedented. For an NFL general manager to get that kind of shot and to build the team up, see it be built down, and then build it back up into a Super Bowl contender once again. And then for, you know, the owner, Jeff Lurie, now he is, when he walks into those owners' meetings, he gets to join the elite club of guys who have multiple Super Bowl rings on their finger. For years and years and years, the Eagles were that team who did not have any Super Bowls. They were looked down upon by the other teams in the division and other teams in the league of, you'll never do this, talk to us when you get a ring. And then when they got a ring, it was talk to us when you get multiple. If the Eagles win this game tomorrow, they cement themselves as one of the most successful organizations of this century. I think they already are. As an organization historically under Jeffrey Lurie's leadership, who has multiple titles, and you jump into a much more elite, prestigious class in the league. It's a huge game for all parties involved. And again, I think there is more than we're giving credit for in terms of the negative side. If they lose this game, the likelihood that they get back. So discussing all of that here in the phone lines at 215-592-9494. What's the one word that describes how you feel about this game tomorrow? For me, it's anxious. We've heard confident. We've heard excited. What's the one word? If I said to you, how do you feel about this game tomorrow? And you had to give me a word. Call in with it now at 215-592-9494. Now, on the other side, for the last 2 weeks, again, 13 days, if you want to be exact, Everyone and their mother has been saying what their X factor is for the Eagles to win this game, for the Chiefs to win this game. Well, I'm going to give you mine for the Eagles to win this game, because I think Drew Brees, he was on Pat McAfee this week, and I think he nailed it. We'll play that for you next, and we will rock your phone calls as well. Again, Drew Brees on what he believes the X factor for the Eagles to win this game is. 215-592-9494. Dan Wilson with you. Kyle Forsini producing. Just getting started here on a Saturday morning, taking you up till 10 a.m. here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Dan Wilson with you. Kyle Forsini is behind the glass. 215-592-9494 is how you get in here this morning. It's now 8:30 a.m., which means we are 34 hours until kickoff. 34 hours. Going to be hard to sleep between now and 6:30 p.m. tomorrow. I said this the night before the NFC Championship game. I think that's what we're going to have again tonight. A lot of people are going to be... Kyle, are you familiar with the meme of the kid who's got the big basketball game the next day, so he sleeps with the sneakers in his bed? You know what I'm talking about?
I don't think so, no.
All right, so there's a famous meme of, like, if you're, like, so excited to, like, do something, you have, like, you know, your full basketball jersey and your sneakers, like, in bed with you because you can hardly sleep. I think going to be a lot of Eagles fans, either metaphorically or literally, sleeping with their lucky Eagles jersey next to them tonight. Not going to be a lot of sleep in the Delaware Valley tonight. If they win tomorrow, not going to be a lot of sleep on Sunday night. I predict a lot of people calling out on Monday, probably regardless of how this game goes. Don't think it was an especially productive week this week. If they win next week, don't think it's going to be especially productive, but that's okay. It's the biggest game, you know, one of the biggest games in the history of the franchise. I'll say that winning the first Super Bowl in the history of the franchise was the biggest. But this, probably the second biggest. I think it's more pivotal than the Super Bowl we saw 2 years ago. I think the odds are against this team to get back a third time. If they lose this, the time is here. The time is now. And I want to know what your word is. What is the one word you feel about this game tomorrow? In just 1 minute, I'll play you some sound from Drew Brees, who was on Pat McAfee this week, who gave his X factor to the game. And I think Drew Brees, the Hall of Famer, hit it right on the head. But first, we say good morning to Brianna, who's in Philadelphia. What's up, Brianna?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey.
Hey, so I'm driving down to Philly right now, all the way up in Vermont.
So you're in Vermont and you're coming down to Philly to watch the game?
Yeah, I am. I was born and raised in South Philly, and I've been living in Vermont for quite some time now, but I wouldn't miss this for the world, because I know the Eagles are going to win this game.
All right, so what's your word? What's the one word that describes how you feel about this thing?
There's a lot of words that come to mind, honestly, and, like, I feel like the one word I can really, like, pin on it is stoked. Like, I'm absolutely stoked for this game.
Stoked's a good one. I think a lot of people in the Delaware Valley probably stoked for this one.
And I just got to say another thing. So I got to let everybody in the city of Philadelphia know this, and so we're all on the same page here. But the Eagles, and I don't want to make anyone feel like superstitions or nothing, but Eagles are going to win the Super Bowl, and let me tell you why. On January 20th, after that game against the Rams, it was like 2 in the morning, and I heard like a whisper in my ear, and it said 30,000 minutes. And I looked up what 30,000 minutes is from that point, 2 a.m. on January 20th, and it led me directly to February 9th at 10 p.m., when people should be on Broad Street celebrating the Eagles' victory.
So you heard a whisper in the middle of the night, and then you looked up what the whisper meant, and it told you 10 p.m. tomorrow night?
Yeah, 30,000 minutes. So, like, I'm sensitive to the other side and stuff like that. So every now and then I get little premonitions and whatever, and I heard it clear as day, 30,000 minutes. And when I looked it up you can look it up yourself, from January 20th at 2 a.m., 30,000 minutes from then led to February 9th at 10 p.m.
Well, that sounds like fate to me, Brianna. So you're stoked, you're confident, so you're watching this game with family tomorrow. What do you think the X factor in this game is, besides the fact that fate has already decided this one?
I feel like that the Eagles are just ready to win this Super Bowl now. Like, they're just always being put down by everybody. Like, there's always an excuse why the Eagles aren't good enough to win, and we prove them every single week. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, that they're capable of winning this game. And honestly, like, we have a lot of revenge. We need some revenge against Kansas City, because we were screwed out of that Super Bowl back in 2023. You, me, everybody else knows it. So we have something to prove tomorrow, and I know that the Eagles are going to win.
All right, Brianna, I appreciate the call. Kyle, you ever have someone, or I guess just a ghost, like whisper in your ear, something like that?
No,
like,
I wish that I have. That sounds pretty cool.
30,000 minutes, and you look it up.
I think I'd be more freaked out.
I think I would be, too. I've never had that kind of whisper. I've never heard something random as that. Apparently from that point in time at 2 a.m. after that Rams game till 10 p.m. I think generally speaking, when people hear things like that, you can read into it, but how else are you supposed to read into something like that?
I think it depends on what the voice sounded like in her ear. You know, if it sounded soothing, comforting, and it's at 30,000 minutes, and then you find out that that's the Super Bowl, okay, that's great.
If someone sounds like they have like an axe and it's like 30,000 minutes,
I would be a little scared.
You think that's going to be like the end. Like you don't think you have much longer to live.
Exactly.
All right, Kyle, what's your word here? Super Bowl is tomorrow, less than 34 hours away now. What's the word? Eagles and Chiefs, two heavyweights. I've laid it all out here. What's the word that you feel?
I think if you would have asked me this when they won the NFC Championship game almost 2 weeks ago, I would have said very confident. Now, as you get closer and you're creeping up on 24 hours away, I think every fan kind of goes through the same thing where that automatically then turns to nervous. So I would say nervous is the word. I'm still confident. I still think the Eagles do come out on top. But you kind of realize you're still facing Patrick Mahomes. It's still the Chiefs going for the three-peat. This isn't going to be as easy as we thought it was going to be after the NFC Championship game. Because that week off in between, Dan, really kind of screws things up. If you're riding that high from the week prior, you're super confident going into the Super Bowl. But now you've had 2 weeks.
Hard to carry momentum over 14 days.
Exactly.
The Super Bowl is like the ultimate reset. Like, it's not the hotter team going in. It's like, no, whoever the best team is has all the time in the world to get healthy, has all the time in the world to practice, to scheme the other team, to use all 14 days to get ready for this thing. It is the true ultimate. It's being played on a neutral field. It's really hard to find any advantage one way or another other than just who the better team is in a game like the Super Bowl. I think nervous probably depicts how a lot of people feel about this thing. I have heard a lot of confidence on the air this week, I will say. And I get the Eagles are playing in the Super Bowl. I get that people have the green-colored glasses, and that's fine. Almost seemingly forgetting that Patrick Mahomes is on the other side. I don't know if I remember this feeling before Super Bowl 52, maybe because they had never won yet. But there was a lot of like, well, they're playing Brady. And maybe it's because the Eagles had Nick Foles, and that was just a really weird year. But it was a lot like, hey, like Tom Brady. And then I remember watching that broadcast, and I remember like, you know, trying to soothe my own nerves, going on Twitter and breaks during that game. People are like, still Tom Brady. He's got the ball. Too much time for this guy. Mahomes is on the other sideline tomorrow. He's the modern day equivalent to Brady, again, going for his fourth. It's unbelievable that before the age of 30, he could already be more than halfway to that guy. I mean, he'd have more rings than Brady had at that point. And we're all just like, no. Birds are going to win. Like, we're fine. They got the better roster top to bottom. I agree with that. Still got they might have the GOAT on the other sideline. And they got the best coach in the league, too. The overconfidence, a little unsettling to me. That's all I got to say.
I still think they win, just like you said, but I think that the confidence factor.
I think the nail biter?
Yeah, I think the confidence factor from everybody kind of instantly wears off once the game starts. You're not watching the first quarter just sitting back, kicking your feet up, saying they're winning this game. You immediately feel the anxiousness and the nerves like you've mentioned.
Going to be a lot of standing tomorrow.
Yes, a lot of pacing back and forth.
People will begin the game sitting. I predict the majority of this Delaware Valley will be standing more than they sit tomorrow during the game. I think a lot of dads are going to get a little too close to the screen. People are going to have to yell for them to get back. Make sure you get whatever party you're going to or wherever you're watching this game. I know a lot of people don't do the Super Bowl party thing when the Eagles are in it. Wherever you're watching this game, make sure you get a good seat, get there early, and make sure you get an inside track to the screen if someone tries to block it or jumps up, who knows what. It's going to be that kind of night tomorrow. 215-592-9494. All right. I mentioned Drew Brees was on Pat McAfee this week. A lot of X factors going in this game. A lot of things that everyone agrees the Eagles need to do if they're going to win this thing. I thought Brees had the best one. Here's what he said when asked what the Eagles need to do to take out the dynasty of the Kansas City Chiefs.
From a game plan perspective, look, I heard what Greeny said. Look, like this Saquon Barkley factor, to me, the only weakness the Chiefs defense has is their ability just to stop the run consistently. And if you can stay ahead of the chains, that takes away the Spags, you know, crazy pressure stuff. If you're in a third and long game against these guys, forget about it. You're done. But if you can stay ahead of the chains, you can run the ball effectively, you can eat up the clock as you're going down and scoring points. The best thing you can do is keep the best player in the world on the other side off the field. This is a game of probability. If Mahomes usually gets 11 possessions per game, let's figure out a way to get him 8 possessions a game, right? And we do that by possessing the clock, by controlling the game, by running the football, and getting points and just freaking pounding away at him.
So I alluded to this a little bit in the first segment, but I think that's exactly correct. Like, I think the key to this game, the key to Super Bowl 52 was aggression and knowing that you are the underdog of all underdogs. You got Nick Foles, a backup quarterback, going up against the GOAT, and you know you don't make that decision to go for the Philly special, or Nick Foles doesn't make that decision to go for the Philly special right there in that moment. That decision was made 2 weeks beforehand in the NovaCare Complex. We need to be as aggressive as possible to win this game. We need to take every risk imaginable, roll the dice, and that is the only chance we have to win. And the Eagles capitalized on all of those opportunities, and they won the game. That's why they won Super Bowl 52. The key to tomorrow's game, in addition to being aggressive and not, you know, getting passive like Sirianni did a couple of years ago against the Chiefs, the key to tomorrow's game is like try and shorten the game. The more time Patrick Mahomes spends on that sideline, the better. The more time that Saquon Barkley has the ball in his hands and you, quote-unquote, stay ahead of the chains, as Drew Brees just mentioned, the better. Steve Spagnuolo's best attribute as a defensive coordinator is he loves to bring pressure on third-down passing situations. If the Eagles consistently find themselves in 3rd-and-6, 3rd-and-7, 3rd-and-8, like 3rd-and-long situations, it's going to be difficult. Jalen Hurts does not do well against the blitz. We know that. He's not always the quickest reaction time guy. And this is not me hating on Jalen Hurts. It's just not his strong suit, right? He does better with quick reads, quick decisions, like get the ball out quick, get the ball into the hands of your playmakers, get the ball to Saquon Barkley, and go. Maybe he takes off. If you can stay ahead of the chains, meaning you get, you know, 1st and 10 turns into 2nd and 6, and then 3rd and 1, 3rd and 2, and you're getting into those running situations on 3rd down, or just converting on 1st down within the first couple of plays, then you neutralize what Spags does so well. You neutralize his ability to blitz Hurts on those passing downs, because now what's the sense in blitzing if you're going to a run play anyway? What's the sense in blitzing if Hurts can get the ball out quickly and he can, on a screen pass, convert that 1st down? If you stay out of those 3rd and long situations, you will possess the ball for longer, you will get the ball in the hands of your best player, and you will neutralize Kansas City's defense's best attribute, best thing, which is dialing up pressure in those 3rd and long situations. I think Drew Brees nailed that on the friggin' head. If you have the ball in Patrick Mahomes' hand instead of 10, 11 times, 7, 8 times, it sounds so simple and elementary, but if the Eagles can extend their possessions, and they did it to a T and mastered it in that Steelers game when they ran like 13 minutes off the clock to end the game, that was a work of art. If you can do that against the Chiefs, you know, 1st and 6, 2nd and 2, or not 1st and 10, 1st and 10, 2nd and 6, 3rd and 2, all right, 1st down, keep it going, run clock, run the play clock down. The less possessions there are in this game, the better for the Eagles. The less time that the Chiefs' offense has to operate, the better. The less opportunities you give the Chiefs' defense to blitz in this game, the better. If you do all those things, I think the Eagles win this game tomorrow. 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. All right, on the other side, going to get back to your phone calls. But in lieu of a side topic here this morning, I want to do something fun. For the remainder of the show, it's Super Bowl weekend. Gonna have a little bit of Super Bowl trivia for you. So again, you got to make your point about the game. Tell me your word. But at the end of the call, also want to hear. Gonna give you a little Super Bowl trivia question on the way out that maybe you can give to your friends and family who you watch the game with tomorrow. We'll get into that more next here on the Saturday morning show. Dan Wilson with you till 10 a.m. Kyle Forsini producing here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Dan Wilson with you. Kyle Forsini is behind the glass. 215-592-9494. That is the phone number to get in here this morning. talking all things Super Bowl 59. I want to know the one word that describes how you feel about this game. For me, it's anxious. I've heard confident. I've heard, Kyle, what was your word again?
Nervous.
Nervous. We have confident. We have nervous. We have anxious. We heard stoked. I've heard a lot of words. You can, whatever word you want, you can reuse a word. Just give me the one word that best encapsulates, best describes, best articulates how you feel about this game tomorrow. Because I know a lot of people have a lot of feelings, and it's probably changing by the minute. But I want to hear how you feel on this Saturday morning, the day before the game. 215-592-9494 is how you get in. Also, when you call, a little treat for you here this morning. I think I'm going to incorporate this into both of my shows. Here this weekend. So I'm on every, you know, or I have been the past couple of Saturdays, 8 to 10 a.m. And then every Sunday morning, so that's, you know, theoretically tonight, from 2 to 6:30 a.m., I'll have you on the overnight going into tomorrow, is, you know, I will also be hosting, usually with Francisco Rojas. Tonight I'll be solo. And I think for the remainder of this show and also tonight, in lieu of a side topic, I love trivia, Kyle. I, you know, every week in my group chats, my friends, we're all sports fans. I'll send whatever the Beat the Hammer questions were. I love playing along. I love sometimes I'll reach out to James for what some of the rejected questions were. So this week's topic was Super Bowl trivia. Not surprising. It seemed like a pretty obvious topic. So I reached out to James Seltzer for help on this. He had some questions over the years he's used in previous Beat the Hammers, some questions that he didn't end up using this week because they only can use 5. I researched some of my own. So at the end of your call, I'm going to give you a quick Super Bowl trivia question, hopefully not too hard. You're going to get about, you know, at most 10 seconds to answer. We're going to keep this thing moving. And again, the most important thing is always reiterate this. You cannot call in just because you want to answer a question. You have to give me your word, how you feel about this game. You know, we're going to go back and forth about the game a little bit. And at the end, I will give you a Super Bowl trivia question. So, for example, a question you might hear, who holds the Super Bowl record, the single Super Bowl record for receiving yards? Now, Kyle and I, we both have an answer key to the other questions I'll ask. It did not include this one. Kyle, would you like to take a guess? Who is the single game Super Bowl receiving record?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. I feel like I'm just going to take a stab and go Julian Edelman.
You wouldn't feel right. Incorrect.
Is it a Patriot?
It is not a Patriot. Don't overthink it. It's Jerry Rice.
Okay.
Jerry Rice went for 215 yards in a single Super Bowl. So that's an example of a question you might hear. All right. And so we'll just kind of have a little fun here at the end of the show. And maybe you'll use some of these questions and you'll quiz your friends tomorrow in breaks to try and ease the stress while you're watching the game. Let's go back to the phones. Alan in Connecticut. What's up, Alan?
Hey, good morning, Dan. How you doing this Super Bowl Saturday?
I'm doing great. How you feeling, Alan?
I'm feeling cautious-confident. Cautiously confident.
Cautiously confident. I gotcha.
I wanted to ask you, when it comes to NFL historical probability and what's least probable, obviously a quarterback losing a Super Bowl and then getting back to one and winning has been pretty improbable. But
doing it twice is even harder, by the way.
Right, but which is even less probable, that circumstance or a team winning their third Super Bowl to three-peat?
Well, the third Super Bowl to three-peat has literally never happened, to your point. The other scenario of losing the first two and coming back to win has happened exactly once. So as of now, the three-peat is theoretically less likely because it's never happened, but 48 hours from now, it could be one-to-one.
Sure, but as of this moment, it's not.
As of this moment, I see your point.
And, you know, there's multiple
Really quick, Alan, for what it's worth, yeah. No team who has won two Super Bowls in a row has ever made it back to this point. So the Chiefs have already made history in that regard, for what it's worth.
Right. But what we're concerned about isn't them getting to a third, it's them winning.
It's about them winning the third. And they've already made history up to this point. We hope that we are not part of them making history yet again.
Exactly. And, you know, there's numerous matchups that are going to author the story of this Super Bowl. But I think the one that is the actual X factor that's going to play the biggest role in this, it's not our I disagree with Drew Brees. Although it's important, our offense against their defense and how that vets out will certainly play a significant role. But as it applies to the greatest player in the game today, the matchup that I think that is going to be the X factor and the most important is our defensive line's ability to best their offensive line and make him very uncomfortable in the pocket and unable to do the kinds of things that he's historically been able to do. That matchup right there and affecting his ability to operate, because they don't run the ball very much, but affecting his passing ability would be the number one thing I think that's going to affect this game. I feel like the variable about how the Eagles' offense is going to play is not as broad. I think we have kind of an idea of what to expect from the Eagles' offense. We face the best defenses in the NFL and have performed very well against them. So it might skew a little one way or a little the other, but I think that's a tighter variable. I really believe impacting Mahomes' ability to operate, in the pocket is really almost everything. If you do that, they can't win the game because their key to winning the game is Mahomes passing the ball.
So, Alan,
if they can't do that effectively, they can't win.
Alan, I don't entirely disagree with you. I guess I the reason why I like what Bree said so much is, to your point, I think the Eagles' offense will score points at some point. I think we know that this, especially Saquon Barkley, is going to get his, and they're going to look strong and score. It's more, well, how quickly do they do it, and do they find themselves in those third and longs? Do they put themselves in difficult situations, and how long do they take to do it? You know, we know that there's a variable of how the Eagles' offense plays. Maybe it's not as big, to your point, as how the Eagles' defense plays against Mahomes, but if Mahomes has 8 or 9 possessions versus 10 or 11, the more chances you give Mahomes, the more looks you give him at this Eagles defense, the more it favors him, right? It's like a Hall of Fame hitter going up against the same pitcher over and over again. The more looks you give him, the better it goes for the offense.
And I'm not discounting that as a significant factor, but he's going to get on the field.
He's going to get on the field, but I'd like to minimize that as much as humanly possible.
I get it. But what's bigger, him getting on the field, which is going to happen, and how effective is he once he's there? I think his effectiveness once he's actually got the ball in his hand, to me, that is the most defining factor, is how good is he when that ball gets snapped to him? And if he can't operate because he's holding the ball for an extra second or 2 seconds, and he's having to run around because the pocket's getting pushed from the center, then they can't operate their offense because they're going to get on the field. But how effective will they be once they're there?
I hear you, Alan. Do you want to take a trivia question?
I'm not usually that great. My score for the game that I'm thinking in my head, and this stuff's all very arbitrary, and I get that. But I'm thinking something like a 31-23 score.
All right, I like it. Do you want to take a Super Bowl trivia question before you get out of here?
I'll try it. All right. I'm not going to tell you I'm usually great at these, but
all right,
I'll
give it a shot. That's okay. You can take a stab at it. How many times there have been 58 Super Bowls? Tomorrow's the 59th. How many times has a team played a Super Bowl in their home stadium?
I don't know. Three?
Very close, but unfortunately not the correct answer we were looking for. So that question's still on the table. If you're listening, you think you know it. We'll get to it a little bit more on the other side, and have a whole lot of questions that I want to get to before the end of the show. 215-592-9494 is how you get in. On the other side, so last week, I opened up the show saying I believe the Eagles have more pressure than the Chiefs do in this game. I still feel that way, but I want to reexamine why I feel that way and some comments that were made by a couple of Hall of Famers. We're going to go back to that same Drew Brees interview. Also, something Tom Brady said about the wins versus the losses in his experience in a game of this magnitude, playing in the Super Bowl. We're going to get to that, as well as rock your phone calls and a little Super Bowl trivia for the remainder of the show. You're listening to Dan Wilson for one more hour here on a Saturday morning, taking it till 10 a.m. Kyle Forcini producing here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Dan Wilson with you. Kyle Forsini is behind the glass bringing you some Tom Petty Running Down a Dream, which is now a tradition here on the Saturday morning show. The infamous Chase Utley fake throw play that Fox played going into that break. Hopefully the Eagles run down their dream tomorrow night in Super Bowl 59. I feel a lot of words for this game. The word I picked was anxious. As we alluded to, we've already heard stoked, confident. Kyle said nervous. A lot of words to describe how you feel. And I want to know how people feel about this game. I want to know, has your feeling on this game evolved? You know, with 2 weeks, have you woken up one day and you're like, they're going to lose? The next day, you're going to win? Have you been steady the entire time? And like, no, I think they're going to win the entire time. Maybe you thought they're going to lose the entire time, and lately you've had a late surge. Or maybe you're just been negative the whole time. No matter what the case is, no matter what the instance is, I want to know how you feel about this game. What's the one word, if you had to pick one word of how you feel about this game, what is it? At 215-592-9494. Now, in just a minute here, I'll play a couple of NFL Hall of Fame quarterbacks who examine the idea of pressure in the Super Bowl, and in particular, who has the pressure in this game, kind of re-examining a little debate we had on this show last week. But first, I want to say good morning to Steve, who's calling from Cherry Hill. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Dan, great show as usual, buddy. Great second week.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, and I really appreciate you keeping it real, because my word is honest.
Honest, all right.
Yeah, I've been going to games since 69. I'm an old head, and I just think we are going to be in for a barn burner, and if I'm a bet man, I'm betting the best quarterback ever, they say. And how do you go against him? I'm just keeping it real, and it's just my opinion. I'm hoping I'm wrong, but I got the score 24-20 KC, and I'm a major Eagles fan. And I just think we're relying on turnovers a lot, and that just doesn't happen. You know, we've been really great at it, but if that doesn't occur, Dan, what are you thinking? You know what I mean? I'm hoping, and here's my prediction, the reason why I'm taking it, I think Nick is going to catch up to him this game, him making a blunder on a 4th and 5, throwing a bomb. It just doesn't, the percentages are not good. You know what I mean? So it's just my opinion.
Steve, so first of all, I appreciate your honesty. It takes guts to call in to WIP the day before the Super Bowl as a diehard Eagles fan yourself and be like, I hope I'm wrong, but I think they're going to lose. Have obviously not heard a ton of that. It doesn't mean you're trying to bring people down. You're just giving your honest opinion. You're saying, man, I can't bring myself to think they're going to win this game. And it's not a ridiculous opinion to say that one of the best quarterbacks of all time plays for the other team. One of the best head coaches of all time coaches the other team. One of the best defensive coordinators of all time is on the other team. And I think the Eagles are going to struggle in this game. It's okay to say that. These are two heavyweight boxers going at it. And I think it's pretty damn close to a coin flip.
Yeah, it is. You can flip it 2 times, but that's just me, and I'm hoping I'm wrong, Dan. I've been wrong before. I'm old. I lost some wagers in my day. So you were teasing me last week. Don't forget, before the game, 3 to 5, I entered my first chili contest. I'll be home just in time for the game.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Breaking my chops. But no, it's a great show, Dan, and God bless you guys, you and Kyle.
Well, Steve, really quick, you want to take a trivia question?
Yeah, go ahead. Go for it.
All right, I'm going to ask the same question I asked the previous caller. How many times has a team played in the Super Bowl in their home stadium?
Twice.
That would be correct, Steve. Good job. That's right. It had never happened for, I think, the first 55 Super Bowls, was it? The Bucks and Rams did it back-to-back. I'm forgetting the exact numbers. But I think it was, or first 54, I guess. The Bucks won Super Bowl 55, Rams won 56. Am I correct on these numbers?
Yes, I think that's how it went. Yep.
So, yeah, Brady and winning in the COVID year. That game was in Tampa. The Rams won the following year at SoFi. But up to that point, had never had a Super Bowl play. A team had never made the Super Bowl in the year they were hosting it. So good job by Steve. 215-592-9494 is how you get in. All right, so going to hear from two Hall of Fame quarterbacks here. We've already heard from Drew Brees this morning, so I'll save him for second. Want to start with Tom Brady. And Brady was on Colin Cowherd this week, and this guy has won more Super Bowls than any player in history. That's another trivia question you can, you know, give to your friends this weekend. Tom Brady, I think most people will probably get that, not only amongst quarterbacks, among anyone. The guy's won 7 rings. But he's also lost 3, 2 at the hands of the Giants, 1 at the hands of the Eagles. And so this guy knows how to win, and he also knows the impact of the losses. And one point I've been hitting home, in the open of the show, I've said it while producing this week, I said it last week, is who has the pressure in this game and what the impact, what the fallout will be should the Eagles lose this game. At the end of the day, that's why I think the Eagles actually have more pressure in this game than the Chiefs, which I know is not, I'll say, the consensus opinion. Here is Tom Brady talking about, this guy again, won seven times, talking about the impact of losing in the Super Bowl versus other losses in his career and how this is an unbelievable legacy-defining moment, especially for a guy like Jalen Hurts, Nick Sirianni, and a number of guys on that Eagles team.
When you lose this game, this is on your resume forever. A loss in the Super Bowl matters more than any loss that you're ever going to be a part of. When I go in Philly and they go, Philly special, Philly special, and I'm at the Knicks game with my son and Spike Lee, I throw him a ball and he puts the ball and he catches it on his head like the helmet catch. I mean, that was 17 years ago and I'm still living that thing down. And no one remembers the loss I had to Peyton in the 2015 championship game. No one talks about the 2013 loss to Denver in the championship game. No one talks about the loss to the Ravens in the 2012 AFC championship game. They all tell me about the losses in the Super Bowl, though. So I think the challenging thing, if you look at Patrick, for example, like, you want to win this game if you're Patrick, because if you don't, you're 3-2 in Super Bowls. And it's not a great feeling. So there is a lot of pressure, certainly from my standpoint, as I got older and I realized the enormity of this game, how important it is to actually win this game.
All right, so those are legacy-defining losses for Tom Brady, who we all agree is the GOAT. Like, literally the GOAT has won more than any player in the history of the league. That people still get on him for losing that game to the Giants, for losing both games to the Giants, in particular the David Tyree helmet catch, which ended the Patriots' perfect season. The Phillies, he still hears about the Philly special. You can tell that's riding on him. Actually, a little bit later in the show, we have a leaked Super Bowl ad that stars both Nick Foles and Tom Brady. You're going to want to stay tuned for that. But, like, Tom Brady still hears about those games. And he didn't lose a Super Bowl. He won his first three. Like, he won the first three, and then he lost, and he still hears about it. Jalen Hurts has never won. Nick Sirianni has never won. Like, a lot of these players on this Eagles team have never won the Super Bowl, and now they're going to lose twice? They're going to have to hear about that stain on their resume not once, but twice? They're going to be the bookend of this Chiefs dynasty winning three in a row? And you expect them, like, again, it would be a great story if they came back and won later in their careers, but that would be a huge, huge stain on these guys' legacies. There is so much. Like, more than I think we even sometimes grasp, how much is at stake for the big players here tomorrow. Again, the quarterback Hurts, the coach Nick Sirianni, but for this entire Eagles team, that history's not on their side. When you lose the Super Bowl, history's not on your side coming back the following year. When you lose the Super Bowl once, you hear about it. When you lose it two or three times like Tom Brady has, you hear about it 17 years later, even when you'd already won three up to that point and seven in total. This is a game the Eagles cannot afford to lose. It's a game Jalen Hurts cannot afford to lose. It's a game Nick Sirianni cannot afford to lose. It's the best season Saquon Barkley will likely ever have in the NFL. Like, all signs are pointing to this is the best shot they're going to have to take out the Kansas City Chiefs. That's why I believe they have more pressure on them in the game. If the Chiefs, at the end of the day, if they lose, like, they're still a dynasty. And that's kind of what Drew Brees said here. He continued on with Pat McAfee about this. Here's what Drew Brees had to say.
I'm going to bring up a different perspective.
Okay, I like that.
Which is, you know, this debate about who we think is going to win and what the game plan is and this and that. I think we need to look at what happens to these teams if they were to lose. Ooh. Okay? I don't think, has this question been posed?
No.
Like, I think this is the way you have to look at it, is if the Chiefs lose this game, man, missed opportunity for the three-peat. Missed opportunity to have done something that has never been done before. Unprecedented. But still, they're a freaking dynasty.
Yes.
And still, they got Patrick Mahomes for, you know, the foreseeable future. And they still have this core that they're probably going to be back next year.
Yep.
Right? What if the Eagles lose this, right? Two out of 3 years, they've come to the Super Bowl and they've lost this game, right?
How are we ever going to get past the Chiefs?
Yep. Right? Like, if we want to accomplish what we want, how are we? So, to me, if you said, who has the most to lose, I think it's the Philadelphia Eagles.
100% agree. 100% agree with what Drew Brees said there. I think the Eagles have more to lose in this game than the Chiefs. The Chiefs are trying to add gravy onto an already amazing era of Chiefs football. They're trying to turn three Super Bowls into four, be the first team to ever three-peat, do something that not even the Patriots of the 2000s and 2010s could ever accomplish, right? It would be an amazing accomplishment. But to Breeze's point, if they lose, they're still a dynasty. Patrick Mahomes still will be in the GOAT conversation very likely one day. He still will, they'll likely be back next year because they're the exception to the rule, just the way the Patriots were. Like, if they lose this game, no one's sitting here questioning, like, what's next for the Chiefs? Is this the end of an era? If the Eagles lose this game, they got to hear about they lost to the Chiefs twice. Jalen Hurts gets to the big game and loses both times he's done it. Nick Sirianni gets to the big game and loses. We're going to enter next season and every season that we have this quarterback and coach combo saying, great, they won in week seven. Great, they got the one seed. Great, they won the NFC Championship. Go do it in the Super Bowl. That's where they always lose. When you've never won before, when you are a team who like is the more desperate team, which I believe the Eagles are, more pressure is on you. Like the Chiefs, I get they're coming in as the favorite. They're supposed to win, but it's not a heavy favorite. And if they lose, no one's going to say, man, that's some huge stain on Mahomes' resume. Like, he will have split with the Eagles. He'll still have three. At the end of the day, he'll still be one of the greatest to ever do it. I think the stain will loom larger over the Eagles, over Jalen Hurts, over Nick Sirianni if they lose this game, because then it's that glass they physically cannot break through. I think it is huge. That's why I'm feeling anxious about this game. I'm anxious to get to 6:30 tomorrow. I'll be anxious once the game begins, and I'll be incredibly anxious if they lose this game. What's next for this team and organization? Because I got to be honest, don't feel great about it, even though seemingly the future is bright. 215-592-9494. Let's say good morning to Chris in Malvern. What's up, Chris?
Well, listening to that, no wonder the word for me is stoic.
Why stoic?
Because I'm 63, and I can't help but to take you back 44 years to when I was 19, and the word would have been euphoric, because I came back off of leave to watch the game with my father, who was very similar.
You're talking about Super Bowl 15?
Yeah, their first Super Bowl.
Yeah, against the Raiders.
My father was very similar to the Robert De Niro character in the movie Silver Linings Playbook. And he had gone to the 1960 championship game. So the point is that from that 20-year arc, those were some bleak years for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, yeah, they were bad.
And then to tie in with what you were saying about how important this is from a historical point of view to win this game, if you look at it, and it's fascinating to see how people are obsessed with Kelly Green, because from 81 all the way to 94, which was essentially, you know, basically the Kelly Green era, that was, again, another bleak period.
Yeah, people love the Kelly Green, but they didn't really win a whole lot in them.
No, you know, I mean, and we were close, but oh God, it was, and no wonder I became a stoic, because it was so painful to lose.
And listen, if they lose this game tomorrow, it's going to be incredibly painful to lose. I'm not trying to bring people down. I'm just trying to raise the stakes even a little bit higher than I think most people already realize they are.
But at 63, I watching this game tomorrow, my skin is pretty thick. So I definitely don't want them to lose. But, oh, God, what you were just saying, I was like, oh, no.
Well, the good thing is, Chris, is fortunately, and I know you've seen thick and thin with this team, is fortunately the last 20 to 25 years have been a lot better than those previous 25, I'll say, right? Like,
yes,
they've been to eight NFC championships. They finally got over the hump, and they did win that one Super Bowl that no one ever thought they would get. They have now been back twice since. But you got to get the job done. This isn't just about, you know, from an Eagles organization perspective, it would be awesome to win twice within a decade of each other. But for the players on this team, for the quarterback, for the coach, for this general manager, for the owner, for all parties involved, it's a huge stain on the resume if it's like you keep getting there and you lose, and you lose to the Chiefs twice in 3 years, versus if you win, like the upside versus the downside is so drastic, and I think so much bigger than it is even for Kansas City. The stakes are really, really high, and it makes me anxious.
Yes, and just speaking for a lot of Eagles fans that are listening of my age, one of the things that stands out for me tomorrow is, and this is no knock on Andy Reid, but to lose again to him for the third time, when we endured those three NFC championships, with him always coming out and saying, well, we got to do better. It's just mortifying to think to lose a third time to Andy Reid.
Chris, 100% agree with you. I said it last week. I think when the Chiefs won their first Super Bowl over the 49ers, like the Eagles had already won theirs. It's like I compared it to when you get divorced or you break up with someone, but you know, it was amicable, and then you get in a relationship, and then finally you root for that other person to find happiness too. It was like, great, now we each have one. The Eagles weren't good that, you know, the Eagles weren't good that year, but now that he has three and he's trying to get his fourth, and it would be two at our expense, like, I'm not rooting for my ex to keep getting one more and now two more over on me. Like, we got to even the score here.
Yeah, and especially thinking about that 2002 season, the last game at the vet
against the Bucs, yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, please, Eagles, please!
All right, Chris, you want a Super Bowl trivia question to get you out of here on?
Yeah, okay. I was, you know, the first one I was going to pick Miami, but...
Miami? Oh, well, how many... It was just how many times... The first question was, how many times has the Super Bowl been played in a home stadium? It was just... The answer was two.
Anyway,
all right, so, well, the question I have for you is, how many times in the first 58, tomorrow's the 59th, how many times has the Super Bowl gone to overtime?
Oh, God, there was that one with the... Pittsburgh, I think. I say once.
Oh, that, I'm sorry, is not correct. So, again, got Super Bowl trivia for you on the way out. You got to have your Eagles point, your Super Bowl point. How you feeling about this game? Give me your one word. And at the end, we will give you a trivia question. Let's sneak in one more caller here before the break. Mac is in Philadelphia. What's up, Mac?
What's going on, fellas? What's going on?
Doing well.
Right from the gate, point blank, point period, Eagles. Go Birds.
I'm with you 100%.
My word, ready. It's no talking. This is what professional athletes train. This is two juggernauts. The pressure to me is on both. You got one that's trying to three-peat, and you got one that just almost 2 years ago. You got a quarterback that nobody is counting on, and then you got a running back that was one of the best. One of the best, but a team disrespected them. They didn't even build anything around him. Look what he's doing.
I think hoisting a Lombardi trophy would pretty well answer the disrespect.
Is that for everybody? And again, I'm not trying to make it seem like I'm overconfident, but I'm just sorry. I'm not going by green eyes. I'm just going by being a competitor. You beat me last time. I almost beat you. One mistake. Now, the couple plays high. But no, one mistake could have changed the outcome of that game.
The margin for error was thin, and I anticipate will be thin again tomorrow.
I agree. But this defense is more aggressive than that last one was.
For the Eagles, yes, I agree.
Fletcher Cox, he was good, but he's not Jalen Carter. He's one of our greatest defensive players in Eagle history, and I'm not taking that away from them. Jalen Carter, this defense, I just watched the last Super Bowl. I remember a play where Travis Kelce, he threw the ball while T.J. Edwards was still on Travis Kelce. That's not going to happen with a player like Zach Braun. He came from a team that didn't even respect him. Now look at him, a defensive player of the year candidate. Was he in the top voters? No, but he's there. It's too much of we want this for the Eagles. Now, the Chiefs, I know they want it. But as far as wanting it, you can tell who wants it the most. They're ready. Look at their faces. Look at a person who just got injured that's willing to put it all on the line. He's still got a family he got to take care of after football. Who wants it more? Philadelphia. I'm done. Go Birds. 34-27, Patrick Mahomes will incomplete the last play, period. Eagles win.
So, Mac, you got me.
I see y'all on Broad Street at 10:30.
Got me fired up, Mac. Hey, really quick, you want to take a trivia question?
All day, every day.
All right, how many times has the Super Bowl gone to overtime?
Four.
Oh, I'm sorry, that is also incorrect. So, again, we got one question correct so far. This last one stumped a couple of callers. If you think you know the answer and you want to give us a word for how you're feeling about this game tomorrow, there's still time to get in. Couple more segments left to play, and you can call in now at 215-592-9494. We've got open phone lines. Kyle will take your call. But on the other side, so Chris Long, former Eagles Super Bowl champion, was on, I believe, his own podcast this week and talking about the tush push, obviously the Eagles' signature play. Everyone knows it's coming in those third and one, fourth and one type of situations. But he had an interesting observation about the tush push in the NFC Championship game and how it might be executed and will it be successful in the game tomorrow. So we'll get to that next, as well as rock your phone calls at 215-592-9494. Dan Wilson with you for a couple more segments. Kyle Forsini producing here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Dan Wilson with you. Kyle Forsini is behind the glass, 215-592-9494. That is the phone number, how you hop aboard here this morning, taking it up till 10 a.m. It'll be Rob Ellis and Mike Sielski at that time. Actually, Mike Sielski might be, I think he's in New Orleans. So if we could get a check on, Kyle, check who's in with Rob this morning, because I do believe that Mike is down at the game. Who do we got?
I believe it's. I think he's live from New Orleans.
Oh, okay.
I believe. I'll double check for you, though.
So let's get a check in on that. But so maybe it is Rob Ellis and Mike Sielski. In fact, 2 years ago, I literally remember producing the day before, or last year, he went to the Super Bowl, Mike did, and the Eagles weren't even playing, and he did it from the Odyssey Station in Vegas. So quite possible that he is checking in from the Odyssey Station down in New Orleans. I was just saying to Kyle during the break, I looked out the window here. So our studios are in 2400 Market Street. We're in the Aramark building, for anyone who knows where that is, directly across the river from 30th Street Station. And I look out to the left, we got like this little river walk and a lot of runners out here running on this brisk February morning along the Schuylkill River. And there was a group of, I'll say about 25 runners. And I'll guess that about 20 of them were wearing green, a lot of them wearing Eagles jerseys and shirts specifically. Saw a lot of Eagles hats, number of Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, A.J. Brown jerseys, other people just wearing Eagles hoodies or just green in general. And at the very back of the pack, I saw like three or four runners wearing red. Now, I didn't see any Chiefs gear specifically, so I don't know if those people just didn't get the memo or they were trying to be contrarian or whether they are indeed Chiefs fans. But pretty funny that a group of Saturday morning runners the day before the Super Bowl like actually chose like, no, we're going to divide the Eagles fans separate from the people wearing red. And they were clearly all in the same group. They were all running at the same pace all together. No one else was around them. It was pretty funny to watch.
Maybe they're just willing spring training here, man. They're just getting ready for Philly season.
They're like, hey,
nothing's going on this weekend.
I know the Super Bowl's tomorrow, but we're just really excited about Truck Day this week. It arrived in Clearwater yesterday. Eagles who? Yeah, I think Jack Fritz was one of the runners, actually. 215-592-9494. In just a minute, I'll play some audio from Chris Long this week about what he believes the effectiveness or lack thereof of the tush push could be in tomorrow's game. But let's say good morning to Kelly in Westchester. What's up, Kelly?
Good morning, Dan. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about you?
It's a beautiful day to be in Philly.
That is for sure. I think it's the last 2 weeks have been beautiful. Whether it rains, snows, sunny, all of these days, they're all beautiful. When the Eagles are in the Super Bowl, no one really cares about the weather.
Absolutely. It was a long 2 weeks, so I'm glad we're getting closer to 24 hours for sure.
I'm with you 100%. What's your word? What's the word you're feeling about this game?
Yeah, so since we aren't, you know, fully at the game day level of, you know, anticipation fully yet, my feeling, you know, waking up this morning was being very proud. Us as older Eagles fans know that this isn't the case very often. We don't get to the Super Bowl very often, and being able to, you know, face the adversity of 2 years ago and be back. I mean, this just shows the incredible resilience of the different players on our roster. I think Mac, before the break, was highlighting a lot of the different storylines of the adversity these team members have faced in their own lives, in their own, you know, experience, and just being doubted. And I'm just very proud of them for being able to overcome what all of them have been able to do and be a team that, you know, we should all be very grateful and very proud of. So that's my feeling as we get ready for the game day next tomorrow. Just wanted to say that I'm very romantic about football. So all the storylines really just kind of make me remember back to Jason Kelce's speech that it's the whole team. And I feel like we're going to hear a really powerful story on the art museum steps soon. And I'm looking forward to them bringing home the victory.
Well, love that, Kelly. A very positive mindset. I'm proud of this team. I think we'll even be more proud of them if they do win tomorrow. But it has been one hell of a journey that they have taken us on so far this season. They've brought the whole city along with them as well. Hopefully they finish the job tomorrow. You want to take a Super Bowl trivia question?
Sure.
How many times? I'll ask it again. A couple people have already gotten this wrong. How many times has a Super Bowl gone to overtime?
I know last year went to overtime. I'll guess two.
Oh, that is correct, Kelly. Good job. Yes, that. And, well, I'm actually not going to give you when the other time it happened, because that's going to lead into a future question we have here. But it's happened twice. That's all I'm going to say. The Super Bowl has gone to overtime two separate times. All right, so Chris Long on his podcast this week, talking about the tush push, everyone's favorite play, third and one, fourth and one. You know the Eagles are bringing it out. Now, they saw a little bit of the tush push in the NFC Championship game was interesting, because you had it get stuffed on the goal line on the 2-point conversion. You had Frankie Louvu jumping over the leapfrogging over the line three or four times until the refs had to step in and say that they could actually award a touchdown for that to happen, or if he does it again. So he was like warning him, like as a little kid, hey, don't do that, or we're just going to give him points. So a lot being made about the tush push going into this game. And Chris Long was talking about it, again, former Eagles Super Bowl champion from Super Bowl 52. Here's what he had to say about the Eagles' signature play.
I think the tush push is, after last week, going to be must-see.
Back in play?
No, I mean, you know, think about Kansas City. I mean, now Buffalo's not quite as proficient at it, and I don't know why it's always like, hey, let's make him go left. You know, like on fourth and inches, let's try to go over the left guard. I know Chris Jones is over there, but how did it work out? I think Kansas City has shown enough to make you think this could be not an automatic, you know, when it comes to, and that's such a key play for them, because it kind of allows them to call the game in the way that they want to call the game. You know, you can be less aggressive on third and five, you know, because if we fall forward for 9 feet, we're going to just do this.
So the tush push is obviously a very effective play. Like, it's one of the best plays in the NFL. Virtually, I'm not going to say never get stopped, but does not get stopped very often when the Eagles run it. No one runs it better than the Eagles. You've seen teams like the Bills or other teams around the league try and run it. It never runs quite as effectively. But Kyle, here's an analogy I came up with, and tell me if you agree with this. Because we saw it play out two separate times in the NFC Championship game. So I did not like, I've been critical of Sirianni, sometimes situational awareness here so far this season. I like, generally speaking, not always, but generally speaking, when the other team jumps off sides on the extra point, they try and chase that extra point by going for two, because you have the tush push, you're a yard away, the odds significantly go up for any team in that situation, especially the Eagles. But there is a timing element to the tush push. There is an element of, all right, the other team is trying to time, like, when to jump. Like, should we jump over the line, try and meet it with equal force? Or are we going to time when we're running in? The tush push, the first time it gets run in a game, and if you kind of vary up the cadence and you don't just yell hike and go, if you keep the other team guessing when you're going to snap it, is really damn effective. But once they get in those situations where it's like third and 1.5 and they have to run it twice, or maybe it's on the goal line like last week where they run it like 2 or 3 times in a row, and by that third time you're doing it for a 2-point conversion because you already did it twice to get the touchdown, not to mention that Landon Dickerson was your backup center at this point, and he was hobbled. Like, he's in a knee brace. He can barely walk. And Cam Jurgens had to come back in. I didn't love running the tush-push when your center, who takes the brunt of it, is already hobbled. But on top of it, I don't love running the tush-push 2-3 times in a row, because the analogy I made, Kyle, is it's like when a hitter gets in the box and the pitcher throws the fastball in the same spot 3 or 4 times in a row, or a curveball in the same spot 3 or 4 times in a row. There is clearly a timing element to this play, which is why Luvu was trying to jump over the line and time it. And he's like trying to time when they're going to snap it, and he didn't really care because they were going to just inch the ball forward until the ref threatened to award a score. I think because of that timing element, I agree with Chris Long that you got to be careful of like where you run it, try not to overexpose the play, but especially like against the Chiefs defense, and they got some big bodies up front. One adjustment I would like to see this time around as opposed to the NFC Championship is don't run it like 2-3 times in a row and allow them to time it up the way a hitter times up a pitch.
Would you say it's like their best play because it's so automatic that it's probably the...
Yes. I wish they would be a little bit more... Like, if you tush-push it, if they find themselves in a 3rd-and-1 on the goal line tomorrow, and it takes them 2 of those to get it in, and then, let's say, the Chiefs jump on the extra point, you have a 2-point conversion, that's where you give the ball to Saquon. Because they just saw it twice, and running the tush-push the 3rd time in a row, your odds, from an Eagles perspective, of converting go down from when you ran it 2 plays ago. Like, does that make sense? Like, throwing a fastball or throwing a curveball is effective the first time, and each time you throw it more and more, it steadily gets less and less effective. So I think it's their best play when they run it correctly, when they run it for the first time in a series. When you run it for the 3rd and 4th time in a series, that's when you see the defense start to get a handle on it.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I just think it's their best play. I think it's basically automatic. This isn't the time to try and shy away from it and try and overthink it. You run it so many times, it works so many times. I guess a team could theoretically try and jump the snap count.
But the Commanders did stop it on the 3rd time.
They did. They did stop it once, but then you also saw Luvu trying to jump the line 7 different times and couldn't get the cadence right.
Oh, I know.
So, you know, there's also that issue, too, where defenses have to get it right, and if they don't, they're screwed.
But then at least mix up the cadence. Do something to throw them off guard.
Yes.
Don't just yell hike and go, and then you find yourself in 4th-and-1 in the Super Bowl, and that's the one time the Chiefs stuff.
I agree with you there, yeah.
215-592-9494. All right, on the other side, going to get to as many phone calls as possible, going to get as many Super Bowl trivia questions as possible, get everyone's feeling on this game. Again, our show topic today is, what is the one word that describes how you feel about this game tomorrow? For me, it was anxious. For Kyle, it was nervous. We've heard confident. We've heard all types. We've heard stoked. All different types of words. I want to know what your word is. I'm going to give you a Super Bowl trivia question. And also a leaked Super Bowl ad starring Tom Brady and Nick Foles. You will not want to miss this. We'll play that for you before we get out of here. 215-592-9494. Dan Wilson with you. Kyle Forcini producing for one more segment, taking up till 10 a.m. this morning here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Dan Wilson with you. Kyle Forcini is behind the glass. Now, Kyle, just imagine. You know, I've long had the take that every Philadelphia sports team should play this song, Philadelphia Freedom by Elton John, when they win. Imagine that blaring in the Superdome as the Eagles win the Lombardi Trophy, as the Eagles clinch a win in Super Bowl 59, and the entire world has to hear that song blaring as the green confetti falls. It would be an unbelievable scene, and I hope it happens.
Yeah, it'd be electric. They got to do that.
They got to do it, and I don't know why the Phillies, Eagles, the Sixers have their own song, I get it, but just about every team should be using it, Phillies and Eagles especially. Flyers, I know they got their own song too, like the orange and the black, so Phillies and Eagles especially need to be using it. 215-592-9494. Get back to the phones in just 1 second. Can't imagine a ton of people will be paying too much attention to the commercials tomorrow. That's kind of something more you pay attention to when you're a little bit more neutral on the game. I think commercials around the Delaware Valley tomorrow will be used for a lot of hyperventilating, a lot of pacing, a lot of, you know, catching your breath for the drive coming up. And, you know, going to be a lot of dads across the Delaware Valley when the Eagles get the ball back at some point tomorrow going, need 7 here, that kind of thing. I don't know how much paying attention to the commercials there will be. But one ad in particular you will want to pay attention to is there's a company called No Bull. Now, are you familiar with these guys, Kyle? I think it's a shoe company. It's like
I'm
apparel.
Not, no.
So I think I know they have shoes. It might be other clothing as well. I guess, and I've never heard of them, but they're obviously advertising on Super Bowl Sunday, so they got a little coin in their back pocket. So they also have some coin in their back pocket because they got some high profile guys for this commercial they're airing tomorrow, which leaked the day before. Now, never been a huge fan also of the leaked Super Bowl commercial the day before. It feels like they used to keep a tighter wrap on these things, and now they almost want these commercials to get out. But anyway, this commercial's been flying all over the internet this morning. It will air on Super Bowl Sunday. It's a commercial with starring Tom Brady and Nick Foles. Tom Brady, who will be calling the game for Fox. Nick Foles, obviously Super Bowl hero, Super Bowl MVP for the Eagles 7 years ago. Here's how the ad sounds.
Hey, Tom, I've got Mikey, the winner of the Noble contest. You want to take that now?
Yeah, sure.
Here we go.
What's up, Mikey?
Whoa, Tom Brady?
I hear you're a quarterback. Did you have a good season?
We won the title. My uncle gave us a special play in the fourth quarter.
I think he actually played with you a long time ago.
Wait, who's your uncle? What play?
Here he is.
Hey, Tom.
Foles?
You know the play.
The one I caught and you didn't. The Philly special.
All right, kid, you want some advice? Just try not to choke.
Everything's a roll of the dice. Sometimes you throw for 500 yards in the biggest game of your life and you still lose.
Luck is a very real thing.
Just ask your uncle.
I think we're cool, right? And that's why we practice catching, Mikey. That's why we practice catching.
The Philly special sounds so much cooler than the Tush Push.
I didn't even get to show him my Noble gear.
Was he eating a cheesesteak?
Love it. Love to hear it. Love that Tom Brady finally is like forcing a sense of humor on this thing. Him and Foles, I guess, on speaking terms if they're in the ad together. Great stuff. So looking forward to that ad on Super Bowl Sunday. 215-592-9494 is how you get in. Let's wrap the show with Owen in Lower Gwinnett. Owen, sorry to do this to you, but we got about 60 seconds here before I got to clear away for Rob and Mike.
Go Phillies. Oh, yeah. No, that's what we wanted. I promised E-A-G-L-E-S.
Love it, Owen.
Go Birds, go Phillies. Take care, guys.
That's it? You don't want to take a... What's your word? What's your word?
Go ahead.
What's the word you're feeling? We're just going to be quick.
Oh, anxious like you are.
Anxious, okay.
Yeah, the three-peat scares me.
Three-peat scares me a lot, too. And I think Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and Spags, they all scare me as well.
And the refs.
The preemptive ref complaining, Tom Kelly said this earlier in the week. I can't do the preemptive ref complaining. I know, like, every superstar gets calls, every dynasty gets calls. It's part of the game.
I was at the St. Joe game last night, and they were treating the St. Louis player like he was Mahomes, and I yelled out at the ref, and he laughed back at me.
That's pretty funny. Really quick, you want to take a trivia question?
Sure, go ahead, Dan.
Can you name the two players who have scored so we already established the two games in the history of the Super Bowl have gone to overtime. Can you name the two players who have scored touchdowns in overtime of the Super Bowl?
Pacheco.
Oh, I'm sorry. That is not correct. The correct answers were James White, who scored the game-winning touchdown for New England when they mounted their comeback against the Falcons. They were down 28-3, 134-28. And last year, Mecole Hardman was the guy who caught the touchdown for the Chiefs. If you like the trivia, I'll have way more for you tonight on my overnight show. A lot more time to get into it. 2 to 6:30 a.m. That's when I'm back on. Stay tuned next. It'll be Rob Ellis. He's live in studio. And Mike Sielski from Live down in New Orleans will be covering the game tomorrow. So you'll want to get their perspectives for sure. They got you from 10 to 1 right here on WIP. Dan Wilson, thanks so much to everyone who called in. Kyle Forcini, thank you to you for producing again right here, Sports Radio 94 WIP.